This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
Welcome to day three of Grace Enough's 21 Days of Gratitude. Today I'm going to finish up the explanation of the peace offering, which was a part of the sacrificial system that God put in place when Israel was first learning to become a nation. And that peace offering, if you recall, there were three ways to give the offering, one of which was the thanksgiving offering. And the thanksgiving offering, what is different than the other sacrifices or offerings, remember those two words are used interchangeably. What's different about the thanksgiving offering is it was voluntary. It was a way for the people to give thanks to the Lord for his unsought generosity toward them. But as you know, we are no longer bound to that sacrificial system due to the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. But there are principles that can be taken away from this Jewish practice. On day one, I spoke about the reality that God does not require his people to give thanks, but instead, giving thanks is God's best idea for us to flourish and thrive in the creation that he has made. On day two, I shared that the thanksgiving offering or sacrifice is the only sacrifice where a portion of the offering is to be consumed by the worshiper. And I went on to talk about what that means for us today. And ultimately, it's that we get to partake with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in us in this fellowship offering. It becomes this Trinitarian type interaction with our Father, the High Priest, in our case, it's Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit living in us. And so I'm going to close out this portion of the biblical roots for Thanksgiving with number three. The Thanksgiving offering, when it was presented to the Lord, it was not only shared with the Lord on the altar and the high priest, but it was also shared with family and friends. So what's the big deal? Or shall I say, what is the application for us today? Well, of all the offerings that the Jewish people would make, the Thanksgiving offering, as I mentioned earlier, a portion of the sacrifice was eaten by the one making the offering, which was totally different than all others. And he took a portion of the meat and the bread home to share with his family and friends. That is why it's called the fellowship offering. You're gathering with other people. You're partaking in a meal together. And in that meal is an intention to give thanks to God for his unsought generosity, to recognize that God is the giver of all good things. And so I want you to ponder this. Your offering of thanks to God not only honors God and ushers you into fellowship with him, it impacts your family, your friends, your neighbor, your coworkers, and so on. Have you ever looked at someone and said, I appreciate you because, I thank God for you because, and watched their response? Their eyes light up. They're delighted. You can almost visually see their countenance change. Or they put their head down and they struggle to accept that because we're so not used to accepting praise from other people. But it is a gift that we need to learn to give generously and receive humbly. So in our family, when we celebrate birthdays, we'll frequently go around the table and share something special or something we appreciate about or something we love about the person who is being celebrated. And I remember when we started this practice in my husband's family around my in-laws' dinner table when my children were very small. I was super uncomfortable because it kind of puts you on the spot and you're not used to doing it. However, what I noticed when I would share something that I appreciated or loved about my sister-in-law or my niece or my father-in-law or my husband is that it caused me to reflect upon the goodness of those people in my life. It caused me to think about all of the ways that I am grateful for their influence. And it caused all the things that irritate me or at times have rubbed me the wrong way to fall down. And that is the power of participating in gratitude to and with one another. I mean, think about it. How did Paul begin almost every letter? I thank my God every time I remember you. He knew the impact giving thanks had on himself, his friends, and all of their relationships and beliefs about God. Don't keep gratitude to yourself. The more you offer thanks out loud, face to face, the more you experience God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Not because he begins giving you more of a reward, but because your eyes are opened to what already is. Keeping that in mind, let's enter into today's gratitude practice. I want you to think about and write down, if you're able, three members of your family. If you were sitting around a table with them and asked to share something you appreciated about each one, what would you share? Spend some time right now thinking about, and again, writing those down if possible, what you would share about each one if you sat around a dinner table. This practice can be challenging as we often overlook the qualities and characteristics of those close to us. But it's an excellent practice to remember every person has a quality that is a gift. This practice can be found in the free gratitude practice that is available at graceenoughpodcast.com/free gratitude practice. You'll find it under week 2, day 4. I hope you'll come back tomorrow as we begin to discuss the impact gratitude has on our brains and what that has to do with science catching up with what God already designed to be true about our brains and our bodies.